Good evening, everyone. My topic tonight is about life goals. So I wasn't quite sure where to go with it. Thought it would have been interesting to have y'all share some of your life goals, but I wasn't sure how well that would go. So, anyways, I think we all know what goals are. We all make goals, and sometimes we achieve them, and sometimes we fall short of what we had hoped. And sometimes it's just a simple little goal, like getting out of bed at a set time, or maybe we have bigger goals, like having our own business, or maybe being a missionary to some other country, or something like that. But whatever our goal is, we're gonna have to, in order for it to work, we're gonna have to have a plan to accomplish it, and then take the necessary action to put that into practice and make it happen. So, and we're all given this gift of life, and it's up to us to use it wisely. So, in order to do that, we need to have some goals for how we're gonna live. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. So basically, what I take from that is that if we don't have any goal or purpose in life, we'll probably end up wasting our life. And basic simple principle: if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. So when I think of life goals, I think of maybe something, could you say something we dedicate our life to? Maybe it's what brings purpose and kind of what defines us maybe in life. Sometimes we say that a certain person lives for this. Maybe we say he lives for hunting and fishing. Basically, you say that's, you can tell by the way he lives that that's his, you know, at least a pretty high goal in his life. So I think whether we intentionally say it, we all probably have goals, and our life shows that at least to some degree. So what are a few worthwhile goals for our life? Let's turn to James 4, verses 13 to 16. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil." So, he's saying here that our lives are very short, and we don't have any idea what's going to happen tomorrow or even in the next 5 minutes. So I don't think he's saying necessarily here that their goal was wrong to go buy and sell and get gain, but it was maybe the attitude or the boasting about it, because he said they should say, if the Lord wills. We always have to... whatever our goal is, we always have to remember that it's if the Lord wills. So we shouldn't be boasting about what we can accomplish. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes, it seems there like he pretty much tried everything under the sun. Riches, fame, mirth, all that. He goes down a long list of stuff, and he ends up saying that he found it was all meaningless and empty. He didn't find any purpose or fulfillment in it. But then he concludes with saying that we should fear God and keep his commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. So I think that sums it up pretty good there. All right. Let's go to Philippians 3 and see what Paul had as his goal. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 16. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So, Paul clearly knew what his goal was. He said that it was his goal to know Christ and be found in him, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness that is in by faith in Christ. And he took definite action to do that. He says he gave up things that were of great value to him in order to attain that. He wasn't trusting in those things that he had accomplished or his heritage to for his righteousness. And he also said that hadn't totally attained it yet. He said it was something he kept pressing toward the mark. And it doesn't sound like it was something he was halfway about either. I think he was that was his life. That was all about him. If you had and I'm sure if you had been around him, he would have been something he would have talked about, and you would have known it. So I don't think there was any question about what his main focus and goal in life was. So a little quote I found here by Jim Elliot, a quote or a prayer of his, it says, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. So that's a pretty good motto or goal. So that's all I have.
Well, good evening, everyone. I have that one topic that every youth guy wants to have, home goals. Well, maybe they don't, but home life goals. And I said that, one guy said, get married and have 12 children. So I'm saving that for his wedding, if I remember. I won't say who said that. But home life goals. For starters, I guess goals are not really my specialty. I'm not very good at setting goals. I'm not very good at keeping up with them. I'm not very good at getting up to them. It looks like a long way to them, so it's better not to start than end up part ways and not get there, right? Sometimes. Not really. But home goals, I think those are some of the harder goals to carry out, some of the harder goals to set. Maybe we know we should have them, but they're kind of hard to get there sometimes. Marvin read two of the verses that I have, and one of them is, do we need to have goals? Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we could say where there is no goals, we perish. We won't get anywhere. The rest of the verse says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We could say the law is what we need to do to accomplish the goal. And so if there are no goals, the people perish, or the group we're in perishes, right? If we have a group of people with no goal, what's going to happen? We're all going to go our own ways. It happens time and time again. Or sometimes we have a group and they have maybe several different goals. It doesn't work. You need to have the same goal. So where there is no goal, the group perishes, or the family perishes, or a personal life perishes. You name it. Our business perishes if we don't have any goals. Now, what goals apply specifically to home life that don't apply elsewhere? I think most of them apply elsewhere, but the home life is where a lot of that stuff starts. So maybe having personal devotions every day, that's a good place to start with a home life goal, because that affects our life at home, right? It affects everywhere else too, but specifically our life at home probably. Some other things are respecting authority, obedience, being kind to people and animals, not getting angry, and lots of other things start and end here. Parents can teach children not to be mean to animals. And once we adults have conquered our anger problem to where we don't get angry at our family or a family member in a very patience trying crunch times, we probably gain victory over it. I have a couple of verses here that can count as goals, whether for singles or for families. One is Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that applies to me personally. It doesn't just apply to my family. It applies to me. I need to serve the Lord. Then my family can serve the Lord. The house that we're in can serve the Lord. One thing with us youth, it's easy to do. We have time. We have lots of extra time. We have lots of money, sometimes, if we don't spend it all. And we don't have lots of things that tie us down, right? And so, for me, am I going to turn my back on those things and serve God? Or am I going to let those things creep into my life slowly? I want God, but I want this stuff yet. I'm going to let that creep into my life, or is my goal to serve God? And I'm going to do that and push all the other stuff out of the way, all those other distractions. For me, anyway, it's seemingly an ongoing process. So we have these goals, worshiping God, or pleasing God, being kind to one another, maybe not getting angry, maybe not improving our relationship with that one annoying sibling that always gets on our nerves, or maybe it's our mom or our dad, or whatever. I'm sure there's always someone in our family life that we could get along better with. What is it? We have this goal, and for me, the hardest part is actually doing it. This one guy said he went to a seminar on accomplishing something in his life, and he said he walked out when the person said, first thing he knew is set goals. He said he set more goals than, I can't remember what example he used, but he set a lot of goals, but he could never get anywhere. So we can set goals, but we have to make sure we finish them. I looked up something about goals online, can't remember exactly what it was, but it says we need to set goals that aren't too easy, but we can't set goals that are too hard. It sounds kind of complicated. But I'm going to say if we set goals, we need to be somewhat realistic, but I think they do need to be idealistic too. If they're too realistic, we can hit them. I think we're going to be able to hit them. If they're ideal, if they're a little bit idealistic, we might not quite hit them, but it's something we can look to. I heard of one young guy who had high ideals or goals for child training, but when he had children, he decided his ideals were way too idealistic, and so he dropped them, I guess. Anyway, and you can guess who had the naughtiest little children in church. And the person who told me this said he should have at least kept the goals. Maybe they were idealistic, but they were something to aim for. And I guess maybe we could say this for child training. I had never had children before, obviously. But from what I've heard, I'd say if our children are 4 or 5 years old and we're actually hitting the ideals that we set for our children, child training, they're going to be obedient in church. They're going to obey me. They're going to whatever. I'd say our ideals are probably too low. I mean, children are children. Doesn't really matter. I know I was pretty naughty when I was little, so I can't imagine I hit my mom's ideals. But so it can be discouraging for me, at least, if I again got impatient or angry or whatever. Or maybe for you parents, it's if your children are once again ripping around after church after you told them not to, or you thought they were sitting beside you. Who knows? Or like my mom used to say, we went places and she always said, "Don't act like you weren't taught anything." She was just sure we went places and we just act like we weren't taught a thing. Or like my uncle used to say, "Kinla kinla, the act it be rental." I won't translate that, but those of you, if you don't want to know, you can come ask me. Some of you know what that means, but you don't act very uncivilized. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," or maybe you could say taken possession of, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth into those things which are before." So that says to me, Paul says he did not reach his goals. He is not there, but he is going toward them. He's forgetting the failures that are behind him. He's not at his goals yet, but he's forgetting what's behind him, and he's heading toward those goals. And to me, even Paul said, he's not there yet, but he's heading toward them. And that's some kind of encouragement for me on the goals that I set in life, that I have maybe for home life, that I have for family. Can I set them a little bit idealistic? Can I set them a little high and be fine with that? And aim toward there and be fine if I don't hit it. But it's something I need to keep coming back to from time to time. Write it down. Need to coming back to, how am I doing on this goal? How am I doing on this goal? How am I doing on this goal? True, it's idealistic, maybe. But am I making progress toward that goal? Is it something, do I need to improve there? Maybe sometime I'll look at it. Hey, I'm doing pretty good at this one, but I need to improve in this goal. Anyway, it's encouragement for me, and I guess I got a little different view and goal studying for this, so hopefully it was, yeah, helpful for encouraging maybe for some of the rest of y'all.
Well, good evening. I'm not sure if being the third one up is a very good spot, because everybody's probably half sleeping and half of what I'm going to say has already been said. But we're just going to dive in and see where this goes. Back to goals. What do goals do for us? Why are they important? And that's been covered already, partly. Goals motivate us because they give us something to focus on. You know, we can see where we're headed, and generally, we know how we're going to get there. Some questions we need to ask ourselves when we set goals. Why do we have these goals? What's the purpose for it? And do these goals honor God? Those are just two basic questions. And when we set goals, you know, we need to break it down into doable pieces. Like, the big goal at the end is okay, and we need that. But to get there, we need to have other goals lined up on how we're going to get there. You know, if we just look at the end result, and we know this is where we want to go, but, you know, it's so far down the road, we're not sure if we're going to make it or not. And so we get discouraged because it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. Like, at work, I have a goal for the year. In a year's time, I want this amount of sales. But I need to break that down to monthly goals or weekly goals. You know, as I go through the week, I can see, okay, you know, this is where I'm at. I'm on track to hit my monthly goal. So if I hit my monthly goal, then I'm on track for the yearly goal. So we use one goal to get to another one, basically. Another basic example is a goal that probably most of y'all had this evening, of getting to church on time. Now, for me, I can't decide I'm just going to get to church on time. I got to break that down a little bit. You know, okay, it takes me 12 minutes to get to church. So this is what time I need to leave the house. And, you know, this is how long it takes me to shower and get ready for church. And this is what time I need to start. Or this is what, however long it takes me to check my sheep or whatever I'm doing. So at this time, I need to take off and start down this road. So those goals line up to the bigger goal of getting to church on time. As far as church goals, obviously they all need to start on a personal level before they can happen on a collective level. Which brings us to the first goal of unity. I know Joe got on that subject last Sunday, I think. But if we're not together on this goal, it's probably not going to happen. And since a church is made up of individuals, if there are individuals we just flat don't get along with, that's going to ruin the big picture. You know, if I don't get along with Peanut and just can't stand him, it's really going to hinder the church as a whole. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4. Probably read the first 16 verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he hath also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, you know, all of us are individuals in this, but we can all work together towards the same goal. Another goal that's fairly obvious for a church is mission outreach. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. Can a healthy church be contained within itself? Can it function like it should without being an influence on the people around it? I'm not sure that it can. I mean, that's what it's all about, really. If you read through Acts, you see the early church had a huge impact on the world around them. You know, early on, Peter and John preached a lot locally. And then Paul and Barnabas went out on all these mission trips. They definitely had an impact on the people around them, and not just close around them. It was, you know, they covered a pretty good area. So that's one thing that needs to start as individuals too. If we're gonna be effective as a church, we need to be effective as individuals. And that can come down to people we meet every day. And there again, in my job, I meet a lot of people. And so that's something that I want. You know, when people leave my office, I want them to feel better than they did when they came. You know, and sometimes it's just a matter of listening to all their problems. But, you know, that's something that we can do. Another goal that I wasn't really going to get onto, but church attendance, showing up in church. Yeah, I counted the people tonight, and there was, I think, 82 people here. There was 112 this morning. Now, I know some people had to leave, and we had some visitors, but why is the Sunday morning attendance consistently 20 or 30 higher than any other time? You know, a church can't function if nobody shows up. And that's something that's pretty easy for me to skip out on. You know, if things come up, well, I'll just stay home tonight and get this taken care of. But if everybody did that, well, we just flat wouldn't have a church service. There's a quote by Zig Ziglar. So what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. And I thought that was really good. That pretty well sizes it up there. So that's about all I've got. The secret to achieving your goals is to get started.